Father, we thank you in Jesus' name as we bow our hearts before you. That, Lord God, we look within and we look immediately to you because of your wonderful, awesome grace that covers us, protects us, and keeps us. Lord, we're so thankful tonight that you're in our midst. And I pray that you refresh those who are weary. Lord, those who are not weary and rejoicing, we just rejoice with them. That you touch lives, that you touch people. Lord, that you give us true wisdom and discernment, spiritual discernment of the hour and the day that we live in, that we not be deceived. Oh, Lord, show us how to walk to the right or rather to the left and let us journey perfectly with you. Be with us tonight and be with those who are not here through illness and touching their bodies as well. And Lord, bless you. Bless us tonight. Bless us with your word and with your presence. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's turn to the book that we are falling in love with, and that's Leviticus. And you know what? I'm so proud of you guys because you know what? You're here tonight to listen, and you're here because we're teaching through Leviticus. Isn't that a blessing? Amen? And I'm so thankful for you. You're such a blessing to me. And a lot of people, they love to avoid this book. They don't even want to talk about it, nor do they want to learn it. Yet there's more dialogue from God in Leviticus than any other book in the Bible. And so as we look at this, I've entitled, of course, this series. We're in chapter 11 tonight. This series, I've entitled it Loving Leviticus. And remember the theme. The theme is God's called his people to holiness. Not only those who have been redeemed out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb, but he's called us to holiness as well. Amen? And so as we look tonight, let me just say something to you about chapter 11. To me, now I don't know how you're going to feel about it, but I just love chapter 11. And the reason I say that, all 47 verses, okay? I mean, this is incredible. It's fascinating. This chapter immediately moves us away from the ordination of the priest and the death of Nadab and Abihu and so forth. And we move immediately into the dietary laws, if you will, for the people of God, the Jews there, his people. And these laws, now listen very carefully. These laws, these dietary laws, what you can eat, what you can't eat, separated the children of Israel from every other nation on earth. No one else had these laws. And you know, we look at that, and to me, that is just absolutely fascinating because, you know, you think of the land that we live in today. I mean, how many diets, you're talking about diets and different food groups. Oh my gosh. I mean, we live in the land of diets. We have fad diets. We have junk diets. That's the one I'm on. We have the hallelujah diet. Have you heard of that one? That's incredible. The hallelujah diet. We have Weight Watchers. We have the South Beach diet. We have Subway diet, Jenny Craig, low fat. Who cares if we're dieting or not, right? And long before any of these diets, the God of all the universe told his people in detail, he said, this is what you can eat and this is what you cannot eat. May I say something to you? That God cares about everything we do. He cares even about what we put into our bodies. Amen? Now, even though as a New Testament Christian, we're not under any dietary regulations, which we'll talk about later, the theme of this, the key verse rather, in chapter 11 is found in verse 47. Look at it with me. God tells them the reason we're going to have all these dietary laws and so forth is because it says to distinguish between the unclean and the clean, and between the animal that may be eaten and the animal that may not be eaten. Now listen, it's deeper than that. God is calling his people to being separate from the world. Amen? Just like he calls us. And we're to be an obedient people. God says, I am holy, therefore ye be holy in all that you do. Now there are four categories of animals that we're going to look at tonight. Remember that in those days, there was no refrigeration at all. And so this is not only a health issue here about the foods and how to take, you know, the cleansing. It's not only a health issue, it's a hygiene issue, and it's certainly a holiness issue as well. And again, it's a separation issue, because God is calling his people to separate themselves from anything that would defile him. So these four categories, we have the beast of the earth, we have the fish in the sea, the birds of the sky, the creeping things that fly. And the word, it's interesting, the word unclean is mentioned 32 times in this chapter. And the word abomination, or it means detestable, something that's detestable, is mentioned 10 times. Now, God has not given us a list of what we can eat or not eat as a New Testament believer. Now, however, the Bible does tell us in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, therefore, whatever you eat or drink, okay? It says, do all to the glory of God. So God gave these dietary laws to only one nation, and that's the children of Israel. And let's begin in verse 11. I'm going to cover all 47 verses, then I'm going to make an application, okay? So bear with me. Let's look at the land animals, verses 1 through 8. It says, now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying to them, speak to the children of Israel, saying, these are the animals that which you may eat among all the animals that are on the earth. Among the animals, whatever divides the hoof, having cloven hooves, and chewing the cud, that you may eat. So he says, he gives us those ingredients, that this is the only ones that you can partake of. And chewing the cud, of course, that's that inward digesting, if you will. Those are the animals that ate mainly like plants and grasses and grains and so forth. He says, nevertheless, these you shall not eat among those that chew the cud or those that have cloven hooves. The camel, anybody had any camel lately? The camel, because it chews the cud, but it does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you. In other words, it's impure. It says the rock badger, hyrax, it's the badger, okay? Because it chews the cud, but does not have cloven hooves, it's unclean to you. Now, let me just stop right there. Can you imagine God having a conversation with you about this? See, but you know that, did you know every word of God is pure? And God, do you think God is serious? He's absolutely serious. And you know, we read that and we go, this doesn't even make sense to us. Yes, it does. That's why we need to study the Bible and know what God is saying. So he says, stay away from the badgers. And he goes, it chews the cud, but does not have cloven hooves. It's unclean to you. And the hare. Now, that's not the rabbit, okay? Because if it was the rabbit, if it is a rabbit, it's some kind of rabbit we've never heard of or know of, okay? Because the Hebrew word here refers to some kind of animal we know nothing about literally. So a rabbit doesn't chew the cud, okay? It says, because it chews the cud but does not have cloven hooves, it's unclean to you. And here's the one we all love, the swine. In other words, no pork chops, no honey-baked ham, no ham and eggs. Oh, yes. Listen, that's what God says. He says, lay off the ham, boys. He said, the swine, oh, it divides the hoof, having cloven hooves, yet it does not chew the cud. It's unclean to you. Listen, if you've ever raised or seen anyone raise the pigs, the hogs, you know, when I was a young teenager, you know, living with my sister, I delivered bread to the hogs, okay? You ever, you know, the old bread, you get in the back of these gigantic trucks and it's just full of old bread, you know, not even sliced. And they put me in the back of the truck. They wouldn't let me ride in the cab. I'd sit back there and eat pig's food. Now, how sick is that? You know, and I'd get out and dump all this, and those animals, I mean, have you ever seen 100 hogs attack all those pieces? Never mind. I don't even want to go into it. I can't even eat ham anymore because of it. So here it goes. We know that the hogs, they're unclean. They'll eat anything. He says, their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcasses, their dead bodies, you shall not touch. They are unclean to you. So God gave Moses and Aaron those two characteristics. He said, you know what? A divided hoof, chewing the cud. They're not meat eaters. You can partake of that, and so forth. Now, look at the fish of the sea in verses 9 through 12. Now, these you may eat of all that are in the water. Whatever in the water has fins and scales, whether in the seas or in the rivers, that you may eat. But all in the seas or in the rivers that do not have fins and scales, and all that move in the water or any living thing which is in the water, they are an abomination. They're detestable to you. They shall be an abomination to you. You shall not eat their flesh, but you shall regard their carcasses as an abomination. And whatever in the water does not have fins or scales, they shall be an abomination to you. So God is getting his word across. He repeats himself. In other words, fresh water, salt water, if they have fins, if they have scales, enjoy your meal. However, if they don't, you can't eat them. That means no catfish. Hey, you know, think about that. They don't have scales. I mean, that means those people that go out there and put their arms underneath, whatever that's called. You know, we used to have a guy that went to church here that did that. I prayed for him often. Sticked his arm in a hole underneath that water and pull out a catfish and so forth. No, you can't have shark. You can't have shellfish. You can't eat shrimp. Oh, you don't. You know, someone told me one time about shrimp. They said a shrimp is an aquatic cockroach. Yes, they'll eat anything. Think about that. They're unclean. David Hawking, when he comes in, you're talking about a particular eater. He, you know, I mean, you could tell he's a man who enjoys eating. He will not touch anything unclean to him, even though we're not under any dietary laws. He says, I'm not going to eat that. You know, I don't want to eat that shellfish. Get it away from me. Get all that stuff completely away. You see, because they are trash eaters. You ever seen, you know, a catfish? You know what they eat. You ever had caught one and cooked it and they smell like mud? Huh? They smell dirty, like mud, taste like mud. That's because they're in the mud. You know, they're bottom crawlers. They'll eat anything. They'll even eat a human. Let's go to the birds, okay? Verse 13 through 19. And these you shall regard as an abomination among the birds. They shall not be eaten. They are detestable. They're an abomination. Here it comes. The eagle, the vulture, the buzzard, the kite, the falcon after its kind, every raven after its kind, the ostrich, the short-eared owl, the seagull, and the hawk after its kind, the little owl, the fisher owl, the screech owl, the white owl, and the hoot owl. That is, if you're a Pentecostal, I mean. The jackdaw and the carrion vulture, the stork, the heron after its kind, and the hoopoe. Whatever, I'm sorry, I didn't study that word out, okay? And the bat. Okay, we have that down? In other words, what God is saying, don't eat birds that live off roadkill, okay? That's exactly what he's saying. They eat dead things. Are you following me? You ever seen those big turkey vultures on the side of the road? They're partaking of dinner. I mean, they're just enjoying it. And you'll drive by and they'll fly away, come right back. They don't care what they eat. They don't care what they don't have. They don't care. And you see, God says, stay away from that, because even the blood, see, is still present in the body, which was against the word of God. You'll never eat anything with the blood in it, right? Remember, the life is in the blood. And so, you know, they didn't even name any clean birds like the dove. You like dove? You ever had dove and dumplings? You know, you've heard of chicken and dumplings, right? I've had dove and dumplings, by the way. Never mind. I'm not even going to go into that. Now let's go to the insects, the flying insects. Verse 20. All flying insects that creep on all fours shall be an abomination to you. Yet these you may eat of every flying insect that creeps on all fours. Those which have jointed legs above their feet with which to leap on the earth. I tell you. These you may eat. Here they are. You ready? The locust after its kind, the destroying locust after its kind, the cricket after its kind, and the grasshopper after its kind. Remember now, those are all plant eaters, okay? But all other flying insects which have 4 feet shall be an abomination to you. In other words, it's kind of like the John the Baptist diet. Remember? A locust and wild honey, he loved that, all right? So if you enjoy locust or the destroying locust or maybe the cricket or grasshopper, we're going to have a sampling in the cafe right after the service. You can check that out. I promise you there'll be no cockroaches, okay, because they are an abomination unto God. Now, we're going to move into verse 24 about whoever touches. And that verse 24 is just amazing. Because when it talks about this principle of whoever touches, it's teaching us that the unclean can affect the clean, if that makes sense. In other words, if I had a gallon of fresh water up here And if I just poured a glass or a half a glass of dirty water into the fresh water, what kind of effect would it have on the clean water? It would immediately make it unclean. In other words, if your little one has the flu or cold, God forbid, or a virus, stomach virus, you know, you would not bring your other little one who is well into the back bedroom and say, here's my son, he's well and you're not well and he's going to affect you. No, the one that's ill is going to affect your other one, right? So there's an incredible principle here. In other words, if we walk with the world, we're going to get dirty. They're going to contaminate us, all right? So it starts in verse 24. It says, by these you shall become unclean. You'll become defiled. Whoever touches the carcass, the dead carcass, okay, of any of them shall be unclean until evening. And whoever carries, not touching, but just carries part of the carcass of them shall wash his clothes, be unclean until evening. Now the carcass of any animal which divides the foot, but is not cloven hoofed or does not chew the cud, is unclean to you. And everyone who touches it shall be unclean. And whatever goes on its paws, you know, like dogs and cats and bears and polar bears or whatever. It says, whatever goes on its paws among all the kinds of animals that go on all fours, those are unclean to you. Now, whoever touches any carcass, any such carcass shall be unclean till evening. And whoever carries such a carcass, washes clothes, will be unclean until evening. It is unclean to you. So if you touch it, you're unclean until sunset or until the evening, okay? However, if you carry it, you've got to go take a bath, you've got to wash your clothes, and you're unclean until the sun goes down. In other words, you can't enter the camp. You can't come among the assembly of your people. You have to stay outside the camp. And these are also shall be unclean to you among the creeping things that creep on the earth. The mole, the mouse, the large lizard after its kind, the gecko, the monitor lizard, the sand reptile, the sand lizard, the chameleon, the elder, the deacon, especially the pastor. These are unclean to you among all that creep. And whoever touches them when they are dead shall be unclean until evening. Now watch this in verse 32. If anything on which any of them falls, meaning the mole, the mouse, the large lizard, all that was in verse 29 and 30, if they just happen to fall, anything on which they fall, when they are dead shall be unclean. Now watch this. Whether it is any item, wood, clothing, skin, sack, whatever item it is in which any work is done, look what God said to do, it must be put in water. In other words, soaked in water, cleansed and so forth. That's talking about hygiene to protect them. And it shall be unclean until evening, then it shall be clean. Now watch this about these earthen vessels, the little pottery. It says, and any earthen vessel in which any of them falls, look what God said to do. You break it up, destroy it. And whatever it is, it shall be unclean. In such a vessel, any edible food upon which water falls becomes unclean. And any drink that may be drunk from it becomes unclean. And everything on which a part of any such carcass falls shall be unclean, whether it is an oven or cooking stove, it shall be broken down. In other words, if a mouse got on the oven, the cooking stove, God says, take a hammer, literally, and destroy that oven. Get it out of your house. Get it completely away. Why? It says here, it shall be broken. Now, why? For they are unclean and shall be unclean to you. What is God doing there? He's doing something that didn't even occur till really the 1700s. He's talking about hygiene, isn't he? He's talking about prevention from contamination of disease and vile things. Listen, mice are dirty. Amen? I mean, listen, when you see a mouse, what do you want to do with it? Oh, come here, you know. No, you want to smash him. You want to, you know, where's the cats? Oh, never mind. Nevertheless, a spring or cistern, talking about water now, in which there's plenty of water. Notice that, plenty of water, it'll be clean. But whatever touches any such carcass becomes unclean. So if, say there was a dead carcass in the fresh water. Well, if you picked it up and drug it out of there, now you would be rendered unclean, but the water which is free flowing, rivers, streams, whatever, that's a continuous spring, it's not unclean. Okay? Did you get that? Now, let's go to the field real quick. And if any part of any such carcass falls on any planting seed, which is sown, it remains clean. But if water is put on the seed, and if any part of it, such a carcass falls on it, it becomes unclean to you. So dry seed could not become contaminated, the planting dry seed. However, if it became wet and the carcass was there, God says, no, it's unclean. Now look at verse 39 very quickly, the contact with clean animals. And if any animal which you may eat dies, he who touches its carcass shall be unclean until evening. He who eats of its carcass shall wash his clothes, be unclean until evening. He also who carries it, its carcass, shall wash his clothes, be unclean until evening. And every creeping thing that creeps on the earth shall be an abomination, and shall not be eaten. And whatever crawls on its belly, you know, like a snake, for example, whatever goes on all fours, or whatever has been many feet among all creeping things that creep on the earth, those you shall not eat, for they are detestable. They're an abomination. You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creeps, nor shall you make yourselves unclean with them, lest you become defiled by them. And now God tells us the reason. He says, for I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore separate yourselves, consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth, for I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. God says, he reminds his people, I saved you, I delivered you, I brought you out of the land of bondage. Therefore, you be holy as I am holy. Has anything changed? No. Are we called to be a holy people? Holiness, of course, is our position, but God says it must also be our practice. We're to pursue holiness, the Bible says, without which no one will see the Lord. So when we look at this tonight, it says, now this is the law of the animals and the law of the birds and every living thing that moves in the waters, of every creature that creeps on the earth. And the reason? To make a difference, or to distinguish between the unclean, the clean, between the animal that may be eaten and the animal that may not be eaten. Now listen very carefully. I called in the beginning when we opened up, I hurried through these 47 verses. I said that this was an incredible chapter, and it is. I said it was a fascinating chapter. My question is, do you feel the same way? The reason I ask you that question is that when we read the Bible today, how far removed are we from the day of Moses? Come on. What? Come on. Thousands of years. And you know what? We're so far removed from the eating habits and the hygiene habits of the other nations that we don't even have a clue. I want to say something. I believe Moses and Aaron standing there listening to God give them these dietary laws, okay? I believe that Moses was looking, and Aaron as well, I believe they were, their eyes were just like saucers looking at the Lord with, like, you've got to be kidding me. The reason I say that, how long were the children of Israel in bondage in Egypt? 400 years. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that maybe during that 400 years, you think they might have become fond of some of the Egyptian food? Well, you know that they did. Remember what happened when we get to the book of Numbers? You know, they say, what did you bring us out in the wilderness to die? Oh, do we look back? Oh, do we remember the leeks and the onions and the garlics and the fish and the melons and the flesh pots of Egypt? Listen, the Egyptians love catfish. True word. They would bring tons of it in. You know, they started living under the Egyptians. They grew up under the Egyptians. They were in bondage under the Egyptians. Let me ask you another question. The reason I say that Moses, his eyes were big as a saucer, is that, what does it say in Acts 7:22 about Moses? It says this. Let me just read it to you so I get it exactly right. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptian and was mighty in words and deeds. He was learned in all of the wisdom of the Egyptians. Why? He was brought up in Pharaoh's house, remember? Okay, now listen. There they are. They've come out of Egypt. And God says, this is what you can eat and this is what you can't eat. Yes, it's more than just dietary law. I understand that. Yes, it's more than hygiene. Yes, it's more than separation. It is a call to be holy. It is a call to be separate from all the nations of the earth, because God says, I am the Lord your God. Now, you consecrate yourselves. You be separated, okay? But listen to me for a minute. When I Think about this. I went back and did a study. Egypt was a fascinating place. And the Egyptians, during Moses' time, do you know that they were the dominant position, they occupied the dominant position in the world when it came to treating illnesses and so forth? In other words, medicine. People from that knew of them all over the world, I mean, they were the leaders, okay, in healthcare, if you will. And there's a document called the Papyrus Ebers. And it is a medical book. You can go online and look at it and actually read it. You can even see it with the hieroglyphics if you like, and it translated below. But it's an incredible, many, many page document. And this guy named Ebers is the one who actually found it, discovered it, and so forth. It's in the museum in Germany, I think Leipzig or something like that, today. But here's the thing. This medical book was written about the time of Moses, actually probably way before Moses, before he was born. And it was a leading medical authority in the world. And I know that Moses had to have known about this book. He lived in Pharaoh's household. Are you following me? Okay, and so I started thinking about that. And so I just want to read to you a few of the remedies in this incredible book called the Papyrus Ebers. Here's one right here, just a minute. This is actually right from the book, all right? It says, to prevent the hair from turning gray. Now, if any of you have any gray hair out here, I want you to listen to me. And here's the recipe. It says, anoint it with the blood of a black calf, which has been boiled in oil, or with the fat of a rattlesnake. Now listen, that's a 5,000-year-old recipe, folks, okay? Here's another one. It says, here's the drugs they have. Lizard's blood, swine's teeth, purified putrid meat, stinking fat, moisture from a pig's ear. That one's always helped me the most. Milk goose, grease, donkey's hooves, animal fats, various dung from animals, including humans, donkeys, antelopes, dogs, cats, and even flies. Now, that's just a few of them, but I wanted to give you this remedy that I read in the book today. I thought you'd really enjoy it. Now, if you have a child that is, for example, doesn't sleep well, okay, they cry a lot through the night. Here this is a 5,000-year-old remedy, okay, to stop a crying child. Take the pods of the poppy plant. Now, we know that's opium, right? That's the first ingredient. We would all sleep well tonight. So you take the pods of a poppy plant, fly dirt, which is on the wall. Now, I've never found any fly dirt on my wall, so I don't know what that really means. He says, make into one, strain it, let it sit for 4 days, take it, it acts at once. No, I'm. This is 5,000 years. Here's another one. The first recorded remedy for baldness, the first one recorded in history for baldness, was prepared for a woman. And the woman just happened to be the queen of Egypt, okay? And I know her name, but I'm not going to pronounce it because I can't. Here it is. You ready? Toes of a dog, refuse of dates, and a hoof of a donkey. Now, if that doesn't work, here's the next one. Take the fat of a lion, the fat of a hippopotamus, the fat of a crocodile, the fat of the cat, fat of the serpent, fat of an Egyptian goat, make it into one and rub it on the head of the bald person. Now, you know, we laugh at all that. Now, wait a minute. We laugh at that. But do you know that they're serious? No, no, no. See, we're modern, aren't we? Oh, we're so. No, listen. This was the leading medical journal in the entire world. You know, Moses is sitting there going, you don't want me to eat any catfish? You delivered us from Egypt, but there's a lot of good food there. You know, in other words, what is God saying? He said, you can't eat the food of the world. You have to eat the food I give unto you. Amen? See, it's all about being separate and so forth. I want you to turn, please, in your Bibles with me, rather over to Timothy, 1 Timothy. Just turn to 1 Timothy and let me find what chapter. Chapter 4. Now, these laws were given to the Jews. Now, do certain foods defile us? No. Okay, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 here just for a moment. And let's look at something as we're making application on this tonight. It says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter time some will depart from the faith. 1 Timothy 4:1. depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons. Did you catch that? Deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Now look at verse 3, very important. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. That asceticism, in other words, we don't eat that. Or, you know, I have fish on Friday or what. You follow what I'm saying. In other words, beware of a dietary discipline today, Christian, okay? You know, there's certainly nothing wrong with dieting. Staying away from bad foods, amen? All of us should do that, you know, and so forth. But, you know, the thing is here is that it says this teaching, this abstaining from these things is actually the doctrine of demons. It doesn't come from God. In other words, if you don't eat this, God's going to love you more. If you don't eat this, God's going to reward you. If you don't eat this, you're going to be closer to God. You're going to be more spiritual. Listen, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8:8, let me read it to you. It says, but food does not commend us to God. In other words, it doesn't bring us near to God, okay? For neither if we eat are we better, nor if we don't eat are we the worse. Listen, we are fully accepted by God because we are in our Savior Christ Jesus. Amen? Listen, I'll be honest with you. What a person eats or doesn't eat doesn't bring them closer to God. Eating Twinkies not going to do one thing for you. You understand? It's just not going to happen. Whatever a person eats doesn't affect their relationship with God. You want to have pork? Go have some pork. You better cook it good, though. You understand? You know, if you want to eat fish on Friday, well, go right ahead, but it's not going to make you any closer to the Lord. Are you following me? Now, when I was a little boy in school, we had to have fish on Friday. I don't know if it's still the same way today or not, but back then we were lucky if we had any fish on Friday. Let's put it that way, but we had to have fish on Friday, the school that I went to. Now, look at verse 3 again. Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be what? Received. Received how? With thanksgiving. Listen, who created food? God did. God says everything God created is food, a good, rather. However, would you think maybe that it's kind of difficult to find food that God created today in the supermarkets? No, I'm just asking you. I mean, do you think God created Velveeta cheese? Huh? No, there's food that comes in boxes. You go, who made this stuff? That doesn't come from God. No, listen. He says, for every creature of God is good, and nothing, meaning what God's created, not General Mills, okay? Okay, and nothing that God created is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. In other words, God, thank you, you've provided our food. Why? For it is sanctified, literally set apart. It's not declared holy. Listen to me. When we pray to the Lord, it's not just sanctified. It is made holy, okay? How? By the Word of God and prayer. Do you pray over your food? Listen, some restaurants, I pray 3 or 4 times. And sometimes I even pray for everybody's meal in there. Do you understand? There's something about that. And, you know, isn't it amazing? You can eat food and food can make you sick. You have food poisoning and so forth and so forth. Now listen, we're not of this world, are we? We're like the children of Israel. We have been called, we're a nation. We're a new nation, if you will. We're the church. And we're not only a nation of light and salt, but we've been called to be separate from this world. Remember in 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says this. Paul says, do not be unequally yoked, joined together with unbelievers. Meaning people that, you know, what do we have? Not that we want to get them saved, but we don't want to be glued to them, joined to them. Do you understand? Two different roads. One's on a narrow road, one's on the broad road. Two different life is in them, physical life and then eternal life. No, you know, two different natures, one alive, one dead. One believing God's truth, one believing not God's truth. He drops down in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 6, and it says, therefore, God says, come out from among them. Here it is. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. So come out, be separate. This is exactly what God was telling the children of Israel, what God is telling us. You remember, in, I think it was Isaiah, I don't know, 52, when Israel's leaving Babylon. Remember what God said? He said, leave everything behind. Just leave it and go to Jerusalem. In other words, make a clean break with all of it. That's what God is saying for us. Make a clean break with what is unclean. Make a clean break with the world. Now, food doesn't defile us. Amen? Food doesn't render us unclean. But there is something that does defile a man and a woman. I want you to turn with me to your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel and look at chapter 15 with me. And look down to old verse 10. Jesus is talking there to the Pharisees. He says, and when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, the multitude and the Pharisees were there as well, hear and understand, it's not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Now listen, when Jesus said that, the multitudes, the Jews that were there, and especially the Pharisees, they were shocked. Because this was a radical statement. See, the Jews knew things that they said, no, the law of Moses, we know we can't touch pork or, you know, swine. We can't eat certain things because that defiles a person. And Jesus is looking and said, no, you don't understand. That's not what defiles a person. And then look at verse 12. It says, and his disciples came to him and said, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? And Jesus said, well, do you think we ought to go apologize, you know? No, he didn't say that. You know, look at verse 15. And then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. So Jesus said, are you still without understanding? Drop down to verse 17. Jesus said, do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? In other words, just goes right through us, folks. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile. They make a person unclean. Isn't that amazing? You know, the older that I get, the more I understand about the words that come out of our mouth. I was talking to a pastor the other day, and we were talking about how to confront people, da-da-da-da-da, and how do you talk with people? And I said, I wish I had not made so many mistakes in my early years. In other words, saying things, but saying them, they were right what I said, but I said them the wrong way. You understand? You know, we can say things that are right, but we can say them the wrong way. Not meaning to hurt, but there's a way to say, it's like I teach the staff, and I don't know if I should share this with you, but I'll go ahead and do it, is that, before we ever engage a person, we disengage the person. You understand? In other words, before, we punch you in the face. No. No. And before I want to say something to some, I want to love them and make sure they know that they're loved, and I want them to know that before I say anything bad or that might hurt their feelings. We need to be careful how we talk to one another. Because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Jesus said. The things that come out of our mouth reveal who we really are. And you know what? There are things that we've all said, things that we wish had never said. Amen? And we've said things that we wish we hadn't said them that way. And so forth. Jesus said, you have to be careful. He said, that's what really defiles a person. That's what makes a person unclean. When a person is constantly lying or gossiping or saying terrible things, really in truth, that's like an unclean vessel. God says, look at them. They're the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And look at this trash that's coming out of them. It's worse than eating catfish, folks. Do you understand? And so what does Jesus say? He says here, look, he says in verse 19, he says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. In other words, wicked schemes and so forth. Murderers. Murderers. I'm still praying. My heart just broke for that young veterinarian doctor. I don't know, she was maybe 32 or something. And, she took her two friends out She was the designated driver. They were going to be, there's like a marriage tomorrow. They were going to get married. I don't know what the deal was. But they pulled into a little place over in Saginaw, I guess, to get gas or a 7-Up or something, because one of the girls was sick that she was driving home, the doctor. And it was about midnight. And her passengers, one of the young ladies, became ill and vomited outside of the door at the gas station where, I guess, another car was filling up. And the person filling up the car was a gentleman, a man, and then his girlfriend was inside the car, the store. She came out, but she couldn't get in the car because the young lady had vomited right there where the car door was. And the guy went ballistic, you know, and so the doctor apologized to him, said, "I'm so sorry." To make a long story short, if you read about it, you know the story. She left, and her car pulled out. He pulled out too, then pulled up beside them and shot her in the head and killed her. Where did that come from? Thank God they caught him. I mean, firing 5 times into a car because a woman was ill, because she vomited, because your girlfriend couldn't get into that side of the car. What kind of society do we live in? Let me tell you something. The heart is wicked. Do you understand me? You see, the reason that he did that is because of his heart. Wicked. It's a wicked thing. Jesus said, listen, all these things proceed out of the heart. It says, you know what? Adulteries and fornications, that's any kind of sexual sin. It's thefts and false witnesses and blasphemies. Oh, you know, talking about people and so forth. These are things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. See, the Pharisees, they were meticulous about before they ate anything, they would wash their hands. And they didn't wash their hands like we did. They washed them with their fist, and they would let the water drip down like this from the bottom. And then they would eat, and they'd wash their hands again. It was a ceremonial thing. You follow me? And it was just incredible what they did. The strictest sect of the law was the Pharisees. But Jesus said, no, you know, you're washing your hands. Oh, you look really good letting it drip down, you know, off your elbows and everything, real clean hands. He said, your heart's filthy. You're defiled. You're unclean. You eat all the pork you want. You're unclean. You follow what I'm saying? See, it's not a dietary law. God says you have to be a holy person. And that's what he's saying. Matter of fact, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verse 23, it says this. It says, and all these evil things, Jesus said, come from within. Come from within. I'm going to get even. They come from within. I'm not going to tolerate it or whatever. I don't have no mercy. It comes from within. And Jesus said, these defile. They render a person unclean. We don't want any part of that. Amen? We don't want to ever be looked upon as unclean by our Lord in any manner. You know what we need to do with our heart? Since the heart is the area everything comes from, our inner being. You know what? We need to protect our heart, don't we? We need to keep our heart pure. We need to make sure that we're constantly walking in the light as he is in the light. And then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep, or literally guard, protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Why should we guard our hearts? Because our biggest danger is right here, isn't it? Isn't it true? Our biggest danger is me, is self. You know, listen, we are not of this world. We're separate from the world. We have everything that we need to live a holy life. All we have to do is just say, Lord, you know what? Here, take me. Just do it. You know, isn't it wonderful just to give up to the Lord? No, and just give up. And just say, Lord, you're everything I need. I don't need anything else. I don't want to speak evil of people. I don't want anything coming out of my heart, coming out of my mouth. I don't want any. I just want everything I do, whatever it is, to glorify you. That's where we stand tonight. Amen. So tonight, when you go home and you think about that fried pork chop, or that fried catfish that you'd like to have, remember that you can have it, okay? But you better pray over it, because that's an unclean thing, okay? Father, we thank you tonight in Jesus' name that you don't care whether we eat pork chops or not. But Lord, you do care what comes out of our mouth. You do care about the things that we say and the thoughts that we have. Lord, we just look to you tonight and we all repent. Anything that has made us unclean, anything that we have done that may have defiled us, even though we're saved, even though our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord God, we repent of them. If there's something that has come out of our heart and come through the mouth, Lord God, tonight, if it rendered us defiled or unclean, whatever it might be, we repent right now. We want to be such a clean people in your sight, Lord. We want to protect our hearts, protect our mind. Oh, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can look at your word and we can grow in the wisdom and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for Leviticus, Lord. Thank you for helping us see that we're separate from this world, that we don't belong to this world, and that we don't act like this world. And that's why we do different things from the world, is because you've called us out of this world. Lord, bless your people tonight. Refresh them. May they walk in your supernatural strength the rest of the week. May we come back, all of us, and gather here on Sunday with a spirit of praise and the garment of praise upon our very hearts and minds. May we walk into this place and be an encouragement one to another. May we say and speak good things one to another. And may we exhort one another daily as we see the day approaching. Oh Lord, bless your people. Bless them tonight. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen.